Chet Edwards joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning. How are you?
Scott, doing great. Good morning.
Air conditioner's working up there?
It's hot in Texas and hot in Washington.
Yeah, it is. Hey, let's first of all, before we get to some things, let's we didn't get a chance to chat last week because you had the committee things that you needed to do, but tell us what's gone on this week and what we can look forward to in the House.
Well, we've got a lot of activity on both the House floor and especially in the committees right now. On the House floor, we're going to have two bills dealing with oil spill. One is going to encourage more research for safety and environmental protections on ultra-deep water oil production. Secondly, do more research on cleanup and how we can do a better job of cleaning up when there are oil spills. Thirdly, there could be a vote on the extension of the unemployment bill. And then in committee, we've been very active. I'm very thrilled that last night we passed my bill in the military construction VA appropriations process through the full committee of appropriations. It's going to have two-year appropriations for veterans, really make a serious commitment to helping our veterans that are facing extreme and very serious mental health care issues coming back, especially from Iraq and Afghanistan. Made a significant investment in our Guard and Reserve facilities. Now the National Guard and Reserves are a critical part of our military's forces. We couldn't fight our war in Iraq and Afghanistan without the National Guard and our reserve forces, and they've been under-supported in years past. I'm really happy about that. And we put funding in my bill last night to really crack down on military contractors who would take advantage of our wars. Some of these contractors have been in a spoil system when in providing services or products for our Iraq and Afghanistan war efforts, and you know, that's shameful for anybody to take advantage of a war situation to milk the taxpayers, and you know, it just something we got to crack down on. And finally, we had some research projects, important projects for A&M agriculture to help Fort Hood prepare and protect its training ranges, and a great biofuels project going on at A&M to create, that we've talked about this, 23-foot high sorghum plants that could be a key effort nationally in terms of reducing our dependence upon foreign oil.
Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. Let's go back to the unemployment bill for just a minute. In kind of an interesting situation, the 60 votes necessary to break the GOP filibuster, the Democrats got that, yet they did not pass that yesterday in the Senate. Are you surprised by that?
Well, I didn't follow all of the actions in the Senate because I was in appropriations all day working on our veterans and military construction bill. But I think there's a good chance the unemployment bill will pass the House and the Senate this week and go to the president for his signature.
Are you going to vote for that?
Yes, I am. I helped kill the $200 billion bill that was, in effect, a second stimulus bill. I thought that went too far, and I have voted for a one-year freeze in non-defense discretionary funding. In fact, even voted for budget this year to cut below a freeze level. But we're still suffering from the significant aftermath of the deepest recession since the Great Depression. And in Texas alone, there were over 113,000 Texas citizens who lost their unemployment benefits on July 3rd. That includes Iraq-Afghanistan war vets, includes a lot of working moms and dads. And I think, while generally I want these initiatives paid for, in the case of unemployment, in the wake of a historically serious recession, I think we need to provide that kind of help to people as they try to get back on their feet. I frankly don't want to spend one dime of taxpayers' money for someone who can't prove that they are applying every week for new jobs. I don't want to help somebody just stay at home if they can work and don't want to work. But for working parents and people who are trying to find a job, who lost their jobs through no fault of their own, I want to give them that helping hand until they can help themselves get back on their feet and get a job.
To draw it by party lines, I guess with the exception of a couple of senators, Collins and Snow, basically it was just Democrats who voted for this. The Republicans say they're not opposed to the extension. What they're opposed to is that there are no offsets. And you've used the phrase paygo before, and both parties do. Where do we draw the line in the sand? Why isn't this the point where we say, Let's do PAYGO. Where are we going to make the cuts to justify this? I think the Republicans understand that there are 2.5 million Americans who need these benefits, but why not now say PAYGO should be in place?
Well, we have put in place PAYGO for many, many different programs, and that's one of the reasons I helped kill the $200 billion second stimulus bill over the last several weeks. But in the case of unemployment, we're just facing a dire situation where you got 113,000 Texans who lost their unemployment benefits on July 3rd. And if many of those lose their homes and go into foreclosure, that impacts the home value of every family on that block. So in this case, if there had been a clearly identified pay for, I would have been happy to look at that. But faced with either helping these 113,000 Texans or not, I'm going to vote to help them. I do generally believe in the principle of PAYGO, but there are going to be some exceptions to that as we climb out of a deep recession and as we're fighting a war in Iraq and Afghanistan. For example, I would not vote to cut off funding for our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq today because that's not being paid for. And we had to fix the 21% cut in doctors' Medicare fees recently, because had that not been fixed, you would have had seniors throughout the Brazos Valley and the country losing their Medicare services. So there are going to be some exceptions. It ought to be the exception to the rule. It ought to be only for the highest priority items, and the general rule ought to be to pay for these programs.
One of the stories that came out of Reuters this morning talking about increased housing commitments has now gotten us to the point where U.S. taxpayers are going to have to add another $700 billion to bring it to $3.7 trillion that the government is spending. And again, these are numbers that just blow everybody's mind. But part of the problem seems to be loans that are being backed, once again, by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. These are failed companies. At what point do you decide that if they're going to operate this way, all they're going to do is continue to run the debt up?
Scott, I haven't seen that article, and I'd want to look at the numbers, but there is no doubt that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, along with Wall Street, made hugely irresponsible decisions that cost our entire economy and threw us into this historically deep recession over the last couple of years. I think it's important that we reform Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and I was disappointed the recent financial services reform bill that could be signed into law by the president this week did not have reform of that in it. I am being told that legislation is being drafted to reform that. Now, if you took Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac tomorrow completely out of the housing finance business, you would really throw our country back into another second deep recession. And talk to home builders and realtors, and they'll tell you you have to have those secondary markets. But I agree, there has been inexcusable irresponsibility by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, by the rating agencies, by Wall Street, and the whole financial area that needs to be cleaned up.
Finally today, Chet Edwards joining us from D.C. Finally today, let's talk about the, I think, something that the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce Legislative Committee talked to you about when they visited you a couple of months back. And that was new requirements that will show that 1099s must be filed by businesses with any vendor that they spend $600 or more. And this is going to be an avalanche of paper for small business.
Yeah, I just think that's dead wrong. It's going to be a paperwork nightmare for small businesses right now that are struggling. And I have co-sponsored the legislation to repeal that. I voted against the health care reform bill that put this new regulation into place, and I have co-sponsored the bill to repeal it. So I am in sync with the Bryan College Station Chamber. I appreciate them focusing on this issue. This is not a time to be putting that kind of paperwork nightmare burden on small businesses. We want to help small businesses rebuild this economy because, frankly, when you look nationwide, it's not the huge corporations that create most new jobs in America. It's small businesses, many of those family businesses, and they don't need to be overwhelmed by this kind of paperwork.
Can you tell me if you're still the only Democrat who signed on to this?
Scott, I do not know whether that's the case or not, but I think there are probably a lot of members that just aren't aware of this. I think as more people become aware of it, you're going to see Democrats and Republicans signing on to this legislation.
Okay, I guess that's the media's job then. We need to get out there and make sure folks know
about it. Absolutely.
There you go. Chet Edwards, Congressman, joins us most Wednesdays when Congress is in session. You can hear our entire interview on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Scott.